Shalom everyone and Chodesh Tov. We are learning today about the sign of Cancer, the month of the Hebrew month of Tammuz, and some little ideas about the background, because a lot of people have an issue with the studying of astrology. What's the reason behind it? First of all, a lot of people in Jewish studies are totally against the study of astrology, because that was their upbringing, that astrology is not Jewish. Whoever is saying that is out of ignorance, since when you read or you study the Talmud, the Tractate of Shabbat, there are many, many discussions dealing with astrology in the Talmud, especially in the Tractate Shabbat. One of them is even going far enough to say that if you're not calculating the signs of the zodiac and the stars and the whole issue that we just, the whole topic, then you're basically despising God's creation. And that's even kind of on the edge of heresy. Why is it? First of all, the question is, why did God create the whole thing that is called astrology? Are we affected by the stars that are millions of years away from here? Do they affect every aspect of our behavior or moods, emotions and stuff like this? Or maybe there's something behind it. So I love to go back always to Parashat Yitro in the Zohar. And in Parashat Yitro in the Zohar, there's an amazing reference to that issue in the Zohar. And what the Zohar is saying is that the stars do not affect our lives even a little bit. However, if we really want to understand our lives much better, we need to understand astrology. Okay, so what's behind the idea of astrology? So we can take it from one place, which is human beings are creatures of habit. And if we are allowed, most of us will basically either freeze our reality because we don't like changes. We'd like our health to stay the same. We'd like our money to stay the same. We'd like to have our safety the same. We want to secure ourselves from any kind of surprises, changes. We don't like changes. We like gradual changes of building up, but everything is based on what is known already. And while we know that we like it, it's not usually good for us, because it's like you pickle yourself alive. And that's not good for us. We're here to change. We're here to transform. We're here to perfect. We're here to grow. And staying the same, kind of freezing or pickling ourselves, so in order to preserve our status so it won't change, that is really not in our benefit. So what happens? So we can say it's that God is every month is changing the surrounding, is changing the atmosphere, the vibrations, the frequencies. What does that make us do? We need to change in order to stay stable. Same thing, let's say you are on a boat and you try to stay as stable as possible. However, there are waves and the boat is moving. And because the boat is moving, the people on the boat are starting to move in order to stay stable. So I hope you got what I'm saying, that basically we live in a universe that is in constant change, movement, transformation, in order to force us to move and to change or to transform, in order to be able to welcome the change into our lives. That's one thing. We didn't answer yet about how come stars that are millions of years away from here, they affect us. And the Zohar says, no, they don't affect us. But it's different. The changes are here. The change of the frequencies are here. We live, as scientists are saying, in a soup of energetic vibrations, and the soup is changing all the time. And by the way, I remember once listening to a lecture of a very, very wise person that basically said that there are many, many kinds of research that were done in the past to show that we live in a soup of changing vibrations, and there is a connection to the movement of the planets. Changing of the energy fields, the changing of the magnetic fields of the planet Earth, and the movement of the planets affect the magnetic field of the Earth. But this is more than that. There's spiritual fields. And what the Zohar is saying is as follows. You would like to know what does a person feel, so you look in their face, you look in their eyes. By the way, people don't feel in their eyes, people don't feel in their faces, they feel in their minds, they feel in their hearts, but the face represents what's inside. So in Hebrew, the word for face is panim, and the word for inside is pnim. Same letters, by the way, just different vowels. So basically, our face show what's inside us. So when we want to communicate our emotions, feelings, state of mind to people, we just show our face. When we would like to know what is the universe feeling, what's the mood of the universe, right now and here, we look, says the Zohar, at the sky and the heavens, the stars. They are the face of the of our universe, which means the Creator designed the position of the stars in the heavens so they reflect the changes, the emotions, the transformations of what's happening here and now. And by the way, we have a problem with that because whoever does really understand astronomy has a problem, because when the zodiac signs are being determined, that was some 4,000 years ago. Since then, the axis of planet Earth has moved, and the sun is not in the same zodiac constellations that it used to be some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, when the zodiac that we understand has been determined. So how would that work today? And therefore, we understand why the Hebrew calendar is a better solution. And by the way, the Hebrew calendar is based on a very unique system of astronomy that is called a lunar solar calendar. Now, the Western calendar that everybody knows, you know, January, February, March, whatever, was created by the Romans, made some transformations, finalized only in the 18th century, as it's being called the Gregorian calendar, after Pope Gregor, who finalized the calendar the way we know it. It has nothing to do with astrology, okay, which means the zodiac signs do not start on the first of the month. They start on the 19th, 20th, 21st, 23rd, something like this. Okay, and as we said before, this has nothing to do with the zodiac signs of today because the axis of planet Earth has moved. Okay, the Muslim calendar is a totally moon calendar, so that has nothing to do with the zodiac because they're missing at 10 days and a half every year. So that's why, if you know the main most famous part of the Muslim calendar, which is the Ramadan, is moving around like 10 and a half days every year backwards. So it could be it was in the summer, now it's shifting into the spring, and soon enough it's going to slide into the winter. Okay, but the Hebrew calendar is a lunisolar calendar. Very similar, same math as the Hindu calendar, the Chinese calendar, the Japanese calendar, the Cambodian calendar, the Thai calendar, like most calendars of the Far East, have the same structure in which we are balancing the calendar between the moons and the sun, which means we count the moon, this the months, month, moon, month, it's the same word, by the moons, which means the new moon is the beginning of the new sign. And this is much more logical and making sense, especially in the Hebrew calendar, in which I don't know how it is by some of the calendar, but I know like the Indian calendar in India is being determined by the government, by some astronomers. I don't know who does it in the in China. I think the Chinese government is doing it the same. I don't think they remember any connection because I did some research and I asked some Hindu scholars about the calendar. They have no idea where it's coming from and they're not aware of it. So we're left with a Hebrew calendar in which every month, the Shabbat before the new moon, in every synagogue around the world, the new moon is being declared by the whole nation. And therefore, not just that we determine with our mouth what is going to be the next month, we also have the ability to control over it. So if you have a doubt if you're on the cusp or not, and how do you start? Because there are many ways to calculate the astronomical zodiac sign, because there are no boundaries or signs or any kind of perforations of or lines in the heavens that when the sun is crossing that line, that's when the zodiac sign is starting. So we have all kinds of systems in astronomy to calculate the different zodiac signs. This is really not applicable. So the Hebrew calendar, Hebrew astrology, solved the problem by saying God basically outsourced the issue of when is the beginning of each sign. That outsourcing happened in the time of the Exodus. You read the book of Exodus, chapter 12, in the beginning of the chapter, and you realize that just before, more than 2 weeks before the Exodus, God is outsourcing the whole job of determining which month is coming, giving it to the Hebrew nation. And from that moment on, we declare every month in the Shabbat before the new moon, which sign is going to be? Do we have any choice? Yes. Sometimes we have a choice because every 7 years we have a leap year. And a leap year, we add a second month of Pisces, Adar 2. And so if we add that month, that means that the next month, everybody born in that month is also Pisces. If we do not announce Adar 2, then we announce the sign of Aries. So everybody's going to be born in the next month is going to be the sign of Aries. The math for that was calculated already then on Mount Sinai. However, the ability to play with that, because we can still play with that, knowing the math, this is giving to the was giving to the Jewish nation. And the secrets have been already determined, and the mathematics for that was already calculated some 15 centuries ago, and it has been already determined. So, if you would like to know for sure what is your sign, you simply check the Hebrew month and you are sure about your sight. Of course, you have other, that's not the only thing that affects your birth sign. It's also the rising sign. It's also the constellations in the time of your birth. All kinds of angles of the different planets. I'm not going to go into it. So we are studying today the month of Tammuz, the fourth month in the astrological calendar. Many astrological calendars start with Aries. Also, the biblical astrological calendar is starting with Aries. Just again, go back to chapter 12 in Exodus. It has been redetermined by the Creator because we're starting to count from the Exodus, because from the moment of the Exodus, humanity started to move towards true freedom. And being able to control your sign, your zodiac sign, to go and rise and ascend above the zodiac signs and be able to control it, this is one of the major symbols of a real human freedom, because one of the major issues of ancient paganism was predeterminism, which means everything is already being written, everything is already being decided. You don't really have any free will of any kind. So if you read Greek tragedy, it's all about people try to rebel against against what has really been predetermined and how they failed in their journey, and they were punished for that. So as we say, during the Exodus, the whole system is being transformed, and from now on, we look at it from a different angle. Now, how is that connected to the sign of Cancer, the month of Tammuz? Let us try to understand. There are a few ways you can approach any month along the year. One of them is the Zohar. And the Holy Zohar says something very special about this month. Zohar, Exodus, the book of Exodus, Parashat Shmot, verse 193 in the Sulam commentary. And it says over there, like this, Elohim shlosha yerachim shedin kashe shore ba'olam. Umihem hem tamuz av tevet she'ein bahem gilui ha'shchina mechamat hadinim sheba'olam. This is being written down based on the verse in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 2. And she hid him. It was Moses' mother. She hid him for 3 months. He was born, and she hid him from the Egyptians for 3 months. At that time, there was a decree. Every male Hebrew boy had to be thrown into the Nile and drowned. So it said that she hid him, Moses, for 3 months. So yes, there is a simple explanation. We're talking about Moses, the baby. He was hidden for 3 months. And after 3 months, she could not hide him anymore. So she put him in the ark on the Nile, and she let him go. And then the daughter of Pharaoh found him, and the rest is history. But there's another way to understand this sentence, this verse, because every verse in the Bible is codifying so many layers of information and wisdom. And one of them, says the Zohar, these are the 3 months of hiding. These are the 3 months of harsh judgment. Which 3 months? Tammuz, the sign of Cancer, Av, the sign of Leo, and Tevet, the sign of Capricorn. They're not consecutive signs according to what we know, but these 3 months are months of harsh judgment, says the Zohar, During these months, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, is hidden because of the judgments. And therefore, because the Shekhinah is hidden, therefore we are supposed to be very careful about our moves, more careful than any other month along the year. Which means, during these months, you're supposed to be very careful in your decisions making, in your moves. You're not supposed to get yourself into too much pressure during these 3 months, because we are not very well protected during these 3 months, and which means we need to take extra measures of protections and caution not to get ourselves into too much risk. The peak of these 3 months are the 3 weeks that are starting on the 17th day of Tammuz, which is known as the day of the sin of the golden calf. 3 weeks exactly later, it's the 9th of Av, which is the day that the decree that everybody is going to die in the desert for 40 years, and only the next generation will be allowed to enter the promised land. That decision was made on the 9th of Av. And then the destruction of the first temple, the destruction of the second temple, the expulsion of Jews from Spain, and the destruction of the biggest and most powerful Jewish community in a wealth of money, and more than that, wisdom, was destroyed, 1492, that also was the 9th of Av, and many other. These 3 weeks are weeks of calamities, which means we need to be extra careful about not to overload ourselves, because we have less, statistically, we have less abilities to withstand high pressure and crisis. So we have to keep much lower during these 3 months, and to focus more on our spiritual growth than on things that can somehow bring us too much pressure. So Tammuz, Cancer, is one of them. Let's continue. So when we come to evaluate a zodiac sign, and we are using the Kabbalistic wisdom of the Arizal, the Zohar, which means the logic and the Book of Formation, the logic behind what is each sign symbolizing for us. And what does it mean for us? Which means, as I said again, what does it mean to all of us? Because when we are talking about the sign of Cancer and the month of Tammuz, we're not just talking about people who are born in this month. We're talking about what's the message, what do we need to learn, what kind of precaution we have to take, what do we have to expect, as we said before, what is the mood of the universe, which means which are the lessons all of us, not just the people born in the sign of Cancer, which are the lessons that all of us have to learn in this month, which means what kind of opportunities open in front of us during the month of Cancer. So first of all, we look at the whole zodiac and we realize that the zodiac is divided into four segments, four seasons. Okay, the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter. And they represent four godly forces, which are the four letters of the Tetragrammaton, the name, the holy name of God. So when we spoke about the spring, the signs of Aries, Taurus, and Gemini, we spoke about the letter Yud, which is Sefirat Chochmah, which means all about condensed, concentrated force, energy, creativity, fire. And when we are speaking about the summer, of which the sign of Cancer is the first sign of the 3 months of the summer, here we enter another zone, which is called in the Talmudic language, another tekufa, another force, another zone of power. Tekufa comes from the word tekif, power. Another ona, season, but ona means also mating season. Ona means that every season is another connection between the creation and the creator. Because the connection is different, the vibration is different. What is the dominant force of the summer? That's the letter He, the upper He, the first He of the Tetragrammaton, which is connected to Sefirat Bina, the element of water, and that means the force of sharing and emotions. So we understand by that all three signs of the summer, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, in the core, there are water signs. This is not like a regular Western astrology, okay? The core power of all three is water, and therefore, all three signs are very much based on the energy of sharing emotions and drama. Of course, whoever knows Leos, without deep emotion and drama, there's no sign of Leo. How do you explain it? That's a water energy. And sharing, of course they sharing. Of course. So if the sharing of Cancer is a motherly sharing, okay, Cancerians, many of them have the tendency to feed you, cooking, even the men, okay, cooking and somehow sheltering you, protecting you like a mother. Leo is the father. By the way, the Hebrew name of the month is Av, father. Okay, and the father is the one who's giving the advices. And I'm the only one who's giving advices over here. So it's also about sharing. And Virgo is about caretaking. It's sharing from another place, sensitive, very, very, very deeply sensitive in a way of sharing in a very careful manner. All three, Cancer, Leo, and Virgo, it's all about its water, sensitivity, deep emotions and of sharing and giving and caring. Okay, so now what's the difference between the three? In every system, we have three aspects, right, left, and center columns. So in astrology, you have the cardinal, there's the different names, but in Hebrew, it is right, left, and center, which means the first one is right column, and right column means the frequency, the power of the element of water. Okay? Left column is fire, center column is air. So we know that Cancer is also a water sign according to the Western astrology. So it's a double water. But really, but just a second, from the summer point of view, it's also water. So it's a triple water. It is a water sign from the season point of view. It is a water sign because it's the water sign of the summer signs. Okay, if you notice, every season starts the first one as a water, is a right column, which is a water energy, sharing. You can find this is the element of giving and loving and caring that you have with the sign of Aries. Aries is not just fire. You can find a lot of generosity and giving the sign of Aries. Where is this coming from? It's not coming from the fire. It's coming from the right color water. Okay? And the sensitivity also. Also Libra. In Libra, the first sign of the fall. It also has a very strong element of sharing. That's because it's a right column. And also in Capricorn, although it is an earth sign, you have that aspect of giving and sharing in Capricorn, All of them are because they are the right column in that season. So now, if we look at the three aspects that every sign has, the aspect of the season, that location in the three signs of the season, and the location relatively to the other signs of the whole zodiac, we realize that Cancer is the only sign that is the same sign from all three aspects. It is water from the season aspect. It is water from the three signs of the summer. It's the water of the summer signs, and it is a water sign relatively to the other signs. So the only sign that has all three the same element, you can't find any other sign like this, is Cancer. So what does it mean that we have one sign that all from all aspects, it's water? The first thing we learn out of it, extremity. Signs, the sign of Cancer, they have the tendency to go the extreme. Same way, you know how water is sensitive. Let's say if there is an earthquake, what's the first thing that will tell you there's an earthquake? If you have an aquarium in the room, look at the water, and you immediately, you will see the water starting to move, which means you have very, very intense sensitivity and extreme. If we talk about mood swings, we're talking about ideology swings, we can find that in the signs of Cancer, usually more than in other signs. And what does that mean? First of all, we are all sensitive to go into extremes, and we know going into extreme is usually dangerous. Why? You can hurt yourself. Therefore, by the way, in many languages, when you want to talk about emotional and mental instability, you use the word moon. In Hebrew, it's chole yareach, saharuri. Yareach is one name for the moon, so is moonsick, or saharuri. That's sahar is another name for the moon. In many European languages, you use lunatic, moonsprak, all of that. Why? Because the moon is the ruling planet of the sign of Cancer. And it's the only ruling, it's a ruling planet only for Cancer. You know, most planets, they are ruling planets of two signs. Okay? Two signs. The two of them, two signs that are being ruled only by one planet. And that's the moon for Cancer and the sun for Leo. And by the way, the moon and the sun, these are the main heavenly bodies that are really can be seen by everybody. Every little child can tell when it's the moon shining and when is the sun shining. Most kids and even most grown-ups can tell which star in the heaven is Venus, even although Venus is very hard, very easy to tell. Most people can tell between Venus and the other stars. Okay? But moon and sun, yes. So can you imagine the power that when we're talking about it physically, the moon and the sun are the most visible and dominant in our skies, the sun in the day sky, and the moon in the nightly sky, okay? But one is ruling Cancer, one is ruling Leo. And that means that the forces, the powers behind the two signs, Cancer and Leo, are very, very, very intense. And as we said, mother and father are not brothers. They are like the moon and the sun of the family. They are the most intense figures in the family. So which means that the two signs, Cancer and Leo, are very intense signs. And basically, maybe this is the reason why we can say what the Zohar is saying, that we have to be extra careful during these two signs, especially Capricorn is another story, because the powers on these two signs are very intense. Therefore, we should be very, very careful. Okay, so first of all, what do we learn about the sign of Cancer? Emotions. Emotions and sharing. And when we're talking about sharing, it's always with extreme. Having raised by a mother that was born in the sign of Cancer, that could be very hard for a lot of people. Because the giving of the sign of Cancer is kind of obsessive. Okay, I'm not saying that all women, mothers that born in the sign of Cancer have the same issue. Okay, but statistically, they are very prone to that. but it doesn't mean that you don't have obsessively giving, sharing mothers that are not from the sign of Cancer. But you'll always find that either there is a very strong influence and dominance of the fourth house in their zodiac chart, or a very strong influence of the moon and the sign of Cancer in their chart. Every human being is a mixture of many, many, many influences. And what does it mean? And all for us, because even if we don't have a dominant moon in our chart, the moment we starting the month of Tammuz, we have to be really careful. Why? Because of sensitivity. What does it mean? For people from the sign of Cancer, because we see that there's such an extreme power of the water element in their chart, and that means very high level of sensitivity. And, you know, I met a lot of people from the sign of Cancer, a lot of people. Most of them, as we're going to read, are very, very talented, very smart, very wide aspect of a broad education, understanding, self-education, if not academic education. However, when it comes to emotional sensitivity, that's their downfall. One of the biggest problems of somebody that was born in the sign of Cancer is that kind of sensitivity, emotional sensitivity. Being busy, obsessively, what do I feel? By the way, they're not the only ones. We are living in an era in which we have this obsessive compulsive, what do I feel, for all zodiac signs. So it's very dangerous, because the moment you obsessively being busy, what do I feel, this will be your downfall. It's like having ongoing feeling of a punch in the belly. Okay? And then all the air is coming out. Like having a huge puncture in your all your four wheels of your car. It can't go anywhere this way. So one of the biggest problems for all of us during this month, do not focus on what do I feel, how do I feel, why do I feel, how should I feel, all of that stuff. You should stay away from that, like this is poison, because it is poison. What you have to do is to turn that how do I feel to how do other people feel. And how can I help them about it? Therefore, people of the sign of Cancer that can turn that around from how do I feel to how other people feel, and how, what do I do about helping them about it, that can make them the most amazing CEOs, the most amazing managers, the most amazing teachers, the most amazing parents. Because they have like kind of an almost mystical ability to be there for others, to help them in the most wise way in order to bring them salvation with a good advice, with good guidance, like a manager should be, like a teacher should be, like a therapist should be, because this is an amazing trait of the sign of Cancer. The only thing is, use this amazing sensitivity in order to help others. The moment you do it in order to help others, you get the most amazing connection to godly spiritual forces that will help you to be able to be also the smartest person, the wisest person, the most capable person, and have also the energies that will allow you to be able to be of help to others. And if not, the more obsessive you're going to be with your mood swings, with your emotions and so on, you know, that will be your downfall, which means all, it's like, as I said, like a punch in the belly, like a puncture in the wheel. It's going to be all the great good fortune that you're supposed to have will simply run away through that hole in your belly or a puncture in the wheel. So we have to be really careful about that. So in order to understand, so this is very, very important to understand. And here we can add to that another thing. We know that the sign of Cancer, because of their very, very high sensitivity, they need to create an armor of protection, because the more sensitive a person is, the more secure he needs to become. Therefore, he needs to find some fortification in order to secure himself or herself from hurt. So therefore, we get, you know, the crab, which is a sign of Cancer. The crab is very soft and tender inside, but on the outside, it has an armor. That's one thing. It has an armor, and therefore from the outside, everything has to look rigid. Everything has to look perfect. They have to look perfectly dressed. They have to behave perfectly. They are so obsessive about the way people perceive them. They're so obsessive about that they need to hide behind this perfect feature so people will not realize how turbulent and they are inside, how chaotic is their emotional system. So from the outside, they need to play the poker face that nobody will know what's going on, because inside they're afraid that their inside will be exposed on the outside. So now, the more spiritual a person like this will become, the more content and stable emotionally they will become, the less they need to secure it by creating the facade of perfection, of a well-behaved person, and especially, you know, very strict ideas that have to be secured by wisdom in a way that it's again part of the armor. Okay, but we have to realize that the Cancer, because of the water, triple water, we know that the crab, whoever knows the animal, has a problem. They can't walk straight. If you look at a crab, when a crab wants to walk towards a certain direction, they turn their side to that direction and they walk sideways. You know, when a person cannot walk straight between the right and the left, that's basically a sign that they're drunk or they have some problem, right? Because, you know, if a policeman stops you and he has some suspicion that you drank too much, he lets you walk on the white line and you have to walk straight. But what happens to people when they're drunk, when they walk with the right leg, they go right. And when they use the left leg, they go left. So they go in zigzag. They can't go straight. Same thing. Someone who's over emotional cannot go straight, and therefore we need to be really careful about our decision making and about emotionality during this month so we don't hurt ourselves and others. So adding to that, we're going to add another layer, which is the letters of the month. So according to the Book of Formation, related to Abraham the Patriarch, some 4,000 years ago, we know that the month of Cancer was created by the Hebrew letter Chet. Okay? And it is ruled by the moon, which is controlled, created by the Hebrew letter Tav. Okay. Now, this combination is very powerful. We're going to talk about it soon. And we also have one special permutation of the Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, or we say Hey instead of the K instead of Hey because we don't want to pronounce this letter combination, is too powerful. But we have a Hey and we have a Vav and a Hey and a Yud. This permutation is for the sign of Cancer. Each of these permutations has a biblical verse that the initials or the last letters represent it. And this one is from the book of Esther. When Haman said, all of this doesn't worth it as long as I see Mordechai. So the four letters, Hey, Vav, Hey, and Yud, is the last letter of the words Ze Eineno Shoveli. It doesn't worth it. Which means we have here the immediate power of judgment because this is exactly the Tetragrammaton but backwards. And that means judgment. Haman as the arch enemy of the Jews, that again is a symbol of the negativity, the dark side. So just by saying from an emotional burst of, I don't care about it. If I can't have it, I despise whatever I've got. We have a problem with it. Over being over emotional, you can really basically mess up everything you've got and you created. We all know how emotional in control can basically destroy everything. That's when people destroy their lives, relationships, especially with their spouses, with their children, with their employers, employees, doesn't matter, community. The most important assets that we have the danger to destroy them in a moment of mental instability, emotional instability. And that's called judgment. And as we said, there's too much judgment in this month, as the Zohar said, so we really need to be careful to this month. But what's the meaning of the letters Chet and Taf? Okay, first of all, the letter Chet. If you read a little bit Hebrew, you realize that the letter Chet written over here is not the letter Chet usually you can find in regular Hebrew books. This is the way the letter Chet is being written in the Torah or Tefillin, Mezuzot, according to the Arizal. And the way it's written, if you look at it, it looks like some people can't see the Chet. They see the letter Vav, they see the letter Zayin, and they see like a little bridge connecting the two letters. Now, what is the name, the Hebrew name for the month? The Hebrew name of the month is Tammuz. Now, how do you write Tammuz? Tammuz, you can see it over here. The word Tammuz is made of Tam, which means completion. Vav Zayin, the completion of Vav Zayin. Vav is the letter for the month of Taurus. Zayin is the letter for the month of Gemini. These are the two main months for the counting of the Omer. If you have basic rulership balance during the counting of the Omer, you'll have better chances to go peacefully through the month of Tammuz. So basically, Tam, which means complete, Vav Zayin, if you connect them in the top, let's say, so if you make this little bridge on top of the Vav and Zayin, you get the letter Chet. Okay? So here we have Tammuz, Tam, Vav, Zayin. This is the completion. So we are going to reap in the month of Tammuz what we saw in the counting of the Omer. If we did a real good job of working on ourselves in spiritual balance and overcoming negativity, then it will be much easier month of Tammuz. If not, we'll need to work some a little bit harder. Okay. And also, if we do not do that, then we have another problem because the letters Tam can also change into Met, death. Okay? The death of Tammuz, this is an ancient pagan custom in Mesopotamia. The death of Tammuz, I don't want to go into it, but it's like the month of Tammuz can symbolize either completion or death, like as we just said before. So we go now back into our, and we're going to learn more about the moon. Okay. The moon is a ruling planet. In the prayer of Ana Bekoach, the seventh line, which initials Shin Kuf Vav Tzadik Yud Taf, is the meditation to control during this month in order to get the best out of it. And also, as we said, the letter Tav. Now, what's the letter Tav is about? The letter Tav is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. The letter Tav means a sign. The word, the name of it, a sign. In ancient Hebrew, it's an X. It's like when you make an X, you put a sign over something. The letter Tav is also a combination of two letters, Daled and Nun. Daled and Nun is Dan, judgment. Okay, and also we learn it from the story of the creation of the universe to the story of the Hebrew letters, that when the letter Tav came to God, according to the legend, and asked God to build the whole world on it, the creator said, I cannot create the world upon you because you symbolize death. Why? Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which means we came to the end of the road. So the Zohar is teaching us that Hebrew letters flicker, shine on people's foreheads. Thank God, most people cannot see that. But each one of them, the way they appear, straight, backwards, well, it shows a lot of things about the person. However, 30 days before a person is passing on to the next world, the letter Tav appears on their forehead. So the letter Tav is a symbol of death, the end of the road. He cannot build a world on that. This is the end, not the beginning. And what does the moon symbolize? What does that mean? First of all, as we said, from the moon point of view, this is extreme. You look at the moon, and in the moon, you have the dark side and the light side. Okay? Black and white. People of the sign of Cancer, they have this tendency to judge everything by black and white, right and wrong. We know that most life is in the gray. There's no basically right and wrong. There are truths that are right for a certain time and that are not right anymore. because they're not productive anymore. You cannot judge people by, black and white things, because human beings are very complex creatures. And, once they can be evil, once they can be very generous and positive and loving and compassionate, depends on the hour of the day, depends on the day of the month, depends on the year. Human beings are really changing creatures. So for all of us, during this month, we need to be really careful not to judge, more careful than other days of the year. Not to judge other people, not to get upset about other people, not to go to extreme emotional judgment, especially, but also when we're talking about lunatic, we talk about a mania, which means when somebody is manic depressive, what is it? That's mood swings of the moon. Low tide, high tide, low tide, high tide. Okay? And what we know is basically when a person is such a very, very shaky mood, the result can be the first result will be the hurt of the immune system. That, if that goes too long, that can create autoimmune diseases, that can create cancer, the disease cancer, which means we can say that in a month of cancer, that could be the seed level of many diseases a person can develop along the year. So, of course, under this power of the moon, we have to be really careful than seeing things black and white, which means, oh, it's a total disaster. Oh, it's amazing success. That's called manic depressive. That's an emotional disability. Okay? The greatest mood swings should be tolerated. We need to be aware of them, especially in this month, and we need to basically calm them down. And when you feel very high, you should either go to sleep or do something for somebody else. And we feel very low, occupy yourself with meditation and study. Do everything possible not to be busy with your emotions, as we said before. And also, as a society, we know that when we talk about the month of Tammuz in the Hebrew calendar, a lot of calamities, like the sin of the golden calf, like the breaking of the walls of Jerusalem in the siege over Jerusalem, all of them happen in the month of Tammuz. And that means that when we're talking about social issues, we really have to stay away from what the media is trying, or politicians are trying, to really picture the enemy as the ultimate evil, and we are the ultimate good. And you don't have ultimate evil, and you don't have ultimate good. Human beings make mistakes, all of them. And whoever says they don't make mistakes, they will be lying to you about other things too. So this is a time for a lot of mental retrospection, connecting to the subconscious mind, working on self-healing. The sense of justice also could be very much developed during this month. Do not use it for extremes, to get into mood swings of exhaustion and despair. We need simply to calm down and to focus on our spiritual journey more than ever during this month of Cancer, especially nowadays, that everything is so unbalanced around us. So have a great month. And whoever wants to go deeper into learning about healing, get us an email to contact@livekabbalah.org, and we can, in order to learn how to register to the Health and Healing course, Spiritual Health and Healing course, of course, especially because this month is all about healing, because the seed of diseases, emotional instability in this month, also the seeds of healing are there. And therefore, the parashot we read in this month, especially Parashat Chukat and Parashat Pinchas, they are the most powerful parashot of the whole year dealing with healing. Thank you, and have an amazing, successful journey.